The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy hump day to us all. I am your host, Dominic Salvia. Crudy is off getting some kids to college today, but it's me, it's Rich, and it's you. You can join us, 844-967-2789. Rich will slightly screen those calls, and we'll do the best we can with what we got. You know what I'm saying? Have a great show today. I actually put some time into this. You know, when Crudy's off, I got to do a little more work, but that's fine with me. Ran into some friends at the DNC. Didn't get a chance to hang out. Didn't get a chance to get caught up. So booked some friends to show up today to catch up. Starting off at 3:30, Dan Schaefer. Many of you know here in Wisconsin know Dan Schaefer. He is the founder of the Recombobulation area and a frequent guest on many civic media shows, including this fine program. Dan has been recently hired as the political editor of Civic Media. So I'm super excited to talk to Dan to get updated, see what's going on, see what that role will entail, and of course, get his take on the DNC, the political circumstances and cycle that we are in right now. So make sure you stick around. Dan Schaefer going to join me at 3:30. Then at 4 o'clock, Robert Pilot, Native Roots Radio. I'm awake host Robert Pilot. He hung out with us for a little bit at the DNC as well. But again, same thing. Not enough time in the day. Reached out to Robert. We're going to touch base. Again, DNC, Robert, he's based in Minnesota. So he has intimate knowledge of Governor Walz. We're going to get updated with Robert as well. And of course, you, our fair audience, 844-967-2789. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, man, Crudy would be proud. James Santel would be proud. Hell, Maggie Dawn would be proud. I read the superseding indictment. I did. I read it today. It's actually not too long. It's not too difficult to get through. And I want to bring some of the highlights to you. There's four counts in it. Lots of things to discuss, but I really like how they broke it down, and specifically the interactions between the former president and the vice president Pence, I thought was fascinating. And of course, Jack Smith goes into great detail of the fraudulent electors in the various states. And of course, the one that I am most interested in is the great state of Wisconsin. So we'll dive into that a little bit. Obviously, Georgia, another one. That one was a little longer. We're not going to spend too much time on that. We know a lot of the backstory, but I want to get to what's in Jack Smith's head and share it with you and get your thoughts on where this goes from here. So if you didn't know, now you know. Wisconsin is the center of the political universe, man. I mean, just think about what the last, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks, the RNC came here. Boo. So wait to hear what the economic impact study will be on that. I bet it will fall short of expectations, but oh well. We probably had a pretty good showing. I mean, Milwaukee in Wisconsin in the summertime is the greatest spot on the planet. So I know a lot of folks visiting here really enjoyed themselves, but I'm not clear that, you know, a lot of the folks that were hosting and working and hoping to sell their wares and some drinks and some food, that they got the return that they were expecting. But either way, the RNC was here, you know, again, to troll what the Dems from the DNC 4 years ago that had to do the whole virtual convention because of the COVID pandemic. And I'll throw on there the mismanagement by the former guy of said pandemic. And then we fast forward just a little bit. Of course, the DNC in Chicago. But wait, they rolled up, man. Kamala Harris did a twofer. She came up to Milwaukee, and that was quite a sight. We were in Chicago for the DNC, and we were hosting with WCPT, our friends over in Chicago. And we were going back and forth because, oh my God, this is so exciting. We have all the speeches going on in Chicago, and all of a sudden, the vice president and her pick for her VP, Walz, in Milwaukee. That place was booming. Talked to some friends that were in the room. The excitement, the energy, the joy. I know the Republicans, they hate the joy. That's not a policy position. Well, it makes it a little more fun to have joy when you talk about the policy positions, which, of course, we will get into in greater detail as time goes on. So that was it. And, of course, over the course of last several months, Harris has been here several times. Joe Biden has been here several times. The Republicans have been here. Hell, J.D. Vance today was up in De Pere, Wisconsin. Now, we already talked about this yesterday. Trump's going to be in La Crosse, Wisconsin tomorrow for a town hall. My understanding, doors open at 2 o'clock. That town hall, quote unquote, will start off at 6 o'clock. I believe there are some plans, and I haven't talked to anybody specifically at corporate, at Civic Media, but what I heard was that they would be carrying that. And I know, like, why are you going to carry that? Why would you do that? I get it. He is the presidential candidate for the Republicans. Unfortunately, and it's newsworthy when that dude comes around. So perhaps Civic Media will be playing that. We'll see if I can get some confirmation on that as the day goes on. So Donald Trump in Wisconsin tomorrow. J.D. Vance in Wisconsin today. Now, our expectation is that he will attend Labor Fest because rolling into Wisconsin on Labor Day, it's Labor Fest, probably hanging out at the Henry Mayer Festival Grounds. We call it the Summer Fest Grounds, but they have all sorts of festivals down there, Irish Fest, Italian Fest, so on and so forth. And it would be expected that Labor Fest going on down there that day, that perhaps Walz and his wife will be there. Again, paying attention, not letting go. And now just announced today, the headlines over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, President Biden will make his first trip to Wisconsin since dropping out of the race. He is coming September 5th. That's a week from tomorrow. A little bit from the article, traveling to Southwest Wisconsin next Thursday to highlight his administration's investments in manufacturing and infrastructure, his first visit to the state since dropping out of the presidential race. Now, a White House spokeswoman declined Wednesday to say where Biden plans to stop in the southwestern part of the state, but an administration official said Biden will highlight his, quote, investing in America agenda and how it is benefiting communities across Wisconsin and ensuring Americans have a brighter, more prosperous future. As mentioned, the visit will be the first time since he withdrew from the presidential race and Kamala Harris quickly became the new nominee. Now, Harris held the first rally of her presidential campaign in West Dallas and since visited Eau Claire and Milwaukee for rallies with her running mate, Governor Tim Walz. Yeah, I guess I kind of forgot about those as well. I mean, I got to appreciate both political parties paying so much attention to the great state of Wisconsin. Now, granted, you know, it's us. There's only a few swing states. We understand the circumstances, but we'll take what we can get. We appreciate the love, even if it's, you know, logical love. Now, Walz will return to the state next week. As I mentioned, he will stop in Milwaukee with Minnesota First Lady Gwen Walz on Labor Day. The campaign didn't say where, but again, we're guessing Labor Fest. Now, Biden has made at least 5 visits to the battleground state this year before growing concerns from within his own party about his age and viability forced him to end his campaign. Or as the MAGA would put it, it's a coup! It's a coup! It's like how they like to kind of just incorporate these words of things that they actually engaged in and project them onto other people and situations to try to diminish the definition of what a coup actually is. As mentioned, in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll get into some of the details of the superseding indictment. That seems more coup-ish than a political party, a guy dropping out and endorsing his running mate. That's a coup if you're MAGA. What else do we have here? Next week, visit part of a series of planned trips for Biden over the next several weeks to highlight the Biden-Harris administration's investment in local communities. In Wisconsin, Biden plans to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act, a sweeping bill targeting everything from green energy incentives to health care subsidies. Of course, we know Biden spoke at the DNC on the Monday of last week. So, yeah, man, Tim Walz, Biden, Trump, Harris. You know, I mean, Wisconsin is where it is at. And of course, we are the devil's advocates. We originate here in Wisconsin. We know what's up. You can join us 844-967-2789. And it's not just that, you know, this legislation signed by the president is just, you know, to, you know, help people out. You know, certainly there's lots to it. And one of the specific issues that came to light is filing taxes. You know, you got to file our taxes, right? Everyone's got to file taxes. And what has it been like filing taxes? Well, you can trudge through it on your own, or you can, you know, hire someone out to do it. But now, according to the Cap Times, when tax season arrives next year, many Wisconsinites will be eligible to file their state and federal taxes online for free as the state joins the national rollout of the Internal Revenue Service Direct File Program. Now, apparently, the average taxpayer spends about 13 hours and $270 to prepare taxes each year. To ease that burden, for more than 50 years, the IRS has funded the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, where trained volunteers prepare taxes for free at sites throughout the country. For people looking to file their taxes online, the IRS has historically directed them to a list of quote-unquote trusted partners, private companies offering free or low-cost software options, though most taxpayers still have to pay a filing fee. The new Direct File Program authorized through the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act is designed to save Americans time and money by filing directly with the government for free. Wow! Like more efficient governance. Now, granted, this is how to get, you know, more of our money, you know, to the man, but at least it will be a little easier, and you don't have to slide in third-party trusted partners to get it done. There are some benefits to good governance, this being one of them. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Coming back, got an update. Do we? You've got an update on the Jay Weber situation? And then Dan Schaefer coming at 3:30. Stick around. The phone line's open, 844-96-PARTY.
percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy hump day to us all. Phone lines are open. This is a political party. Everyone is invited. You can join 844-967-2789. As mentioned, our friend Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area, new political director over at Civic Media, going to join me at the bottom of the hour. As you all know, I've been paying attention to what has been going on over at iHeart, WISN 1130 AM. Their big star over there, a guy by the name of Jay Weber, said some pretty terrible things recently about Gus Walz. Remember the Gus Walz, the kid who was so proud of his dad, stood up and cheered at the DNC. That's my dad. And while most people were just overwhelmed by the show of emotion and love and support, you know, between a family, a son for his father for his family, most people were great. We're fine with it. Wow, what an experience. There was so much joy in the air. Remember that? Well, you know, Republicans not real fond of that. Now, what Weber, you know, so it was not on the radio. This was on the Twitter, the X. This is what he had to say. If you didn't know, now you know. Quote, "Sorry, but this is embarrassing for both father and son. If the Walzes represent today's American man, this country is screwed. And he puts in quotes, "Meet my son, Gus. He's a blubbering bitch boy. His mother and I are very proud." And the end of the quote, you know, pretending to be like he's speaking as Governor Walz. Now, practically, most people had a problem with that. And Jay, he tried to walk it back a little bit, ended up deleting the initial offensive tweet, his non-apology apology, where he acknowledged he didn't know he was disabled. Well, that's not an apology and doesn't really further the conversation, Jay. So he deleted that as well. Finally, he came out and tweeted this on the 23rd. Quote, "This is a fuller apology for something stupid and hurtful I said yesterday. I said it without thinking or having the facts. No excuses. Having been a teacher, I've had a standard of never involving children. I broke that, and I'm disappointed with myself. I apologize to the Walz family and anyone who was offended. I feel horrible. I am so sorry." Those are two tweets that went out. Now, the first one, 2.8 million views. Wow, Jay, that's really way to pull them in, way to connect with your audience. 2.8 million views. I mean, man, if I had something like that, I'd be like, wow, we made it, man. I've gone viral. Unfortunately, Jay, you went viral for all the wrong reasons. And I've just been wondering and waiting, how is this going to play out? So I did Crudy's job again today, not just on the radio, but, you know, monitoring the Righty Whitey Talk radio airwaves. And what did I find today? No Jay Weber. No Jay Weber. Jay Weber show today, Dave Michaels fills in. Yesterday, Ben Yount fills in. Monday, Ben Yount fills in. Today, Friday, last week, Ben Yount fills in. So Jay, after getting 2.8 million views on his actual final apology, although as I mentioned yesterday, I'm not clear exactly what he's apologizing about. That'd be nice. But either way, he's not been on the radio. And I thought today when I finally got online, I was in the morning, I think he's on like 6 to 9, something like that. And I hit the podcast, you know, and it's iHeart, so they had tons of commercials on everything you do. And finally got to it. And I'm listening to this guy. I'm like, oh, is that Jay? Is this the other guy? Ben? Who? Honestly, dude, they all sound the same, man. I heard three different Righty Whitey Talk radio hosts in the last week. I couldn't tell the difference between any of them. They all sound the same. Now, what does that portend for Mr. Weber? Well, as I mentioned to Crudy yesterday, you know, is it the drive time that drives success, the 13 share? Of course, that morning drive gets a big chunk of that. Is it the one personality? Is it him? Is it, you know, these are questions that every radio station asks and every host wonders. Is it my awesome take or is it just the drive time that I'm in? And usually it's a combination of both. But I got to tell you, with this guy Ben filling in the other day and this guy Dave today, I don't think they would miss a beat. I couldn't tell the difference between any of them. Now, iHeart does this concert series thing. I think they make a lot of money on the concert series thing. And they have lots of music stations and so on and so forth. So it's not all, you know, political. They have, you know, varied markets all over the country. So when something like this goes down, you got to wonder, man, that would be really bad if, you know, some of the sponsors of their main moneymakers, this concert series, you know, started dropping off or whatever the case may be. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping this is a bottoming out. And I know, Rich, I saw you shaking your head the other day. Like, no, man, you don't think so. You don't think so? You think we can go further down? Do you think there's going to be any consequence ever, Rich?
No, because I don't think they care. As long as it prints money, they don't care.
But it's got to keep printing money. And in order to keep printing money, you got to keep their advertisers. In order to keep the advertisers, you got to keep the audience. And the audience has to be happy with the content. So it's this whole circle thing. But long story short, is we still don't know. We still don't know. The good news is Jay Weber was not on the air today. So since last Friday, iHeart has done the right thing. Now, will they continue to do the right thing? Will there be a consequence to that kind of behavior? I continue. I know, Rich, in this case, I'm an optimist, man. I know I'm a cynic, and but it just seems like given these circumstances, maybe, just maybe, something will finally happen that will cause some of these hosts to just maybe adjust their mindset just a tad, maybe a little civility, you know, talk about values and character. Maybe some of those things will ultimately matter because they can. If it's all about the bottom line, those things, terrible character, poor values, they can impact the bottom line. If those folks that are espousing those thoughts and those terrible values, those terrible characters are as if projected onto the corporate iHeart, WISN 1130 AM. So, congratulations for doing better. I hope you continue to do it, because honestly, I can't tell the difference between Jay Weber, Dave Michaels, or Ben Yao. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Our pal Dan Schaefer, Recombobulationaire, you're going to join us next. Stick around. And then 844-967-2789 will take your calls.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We are now joined by a fine guest, Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area and new political editor with Civic Media. Dan, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Oh, man, it is my pleasure. I had no idea what was going on. You know, Crudy and I are an independent product, but I read that Civic Media acquired the Recombobulation Area and that you were coming on board as the political editor of Civic Media. I know you've been hanging around a lot, Dan. You get on lots of shows and you have lots of friends in the company, in the industry, man. You've been around a while. Tell me how this went down and what are you hoping to do?
Yeah, very excited about this new agreement that we were able to announce yesterday. The Civic Media, or that Recombobulation Area, is joining the Civic Media Network. I am joining Civic Media as the new political editor. Very exciting new agreement. And for those who might know the Recombobulation Area and follow it and subscribe, not that much will be changing in the very immediate future here. If you like my work at the Recombobulation Area, you can still subscribe and find it there. But now it will just be part of a larger family here as part of the Civic Media Network. And of course, I will also be, you know, kind of helping shape the larger coverage of everything that Civic Media is doing across the state with its political coverage. And what a time to be jumping right into this, right? In right. Less than 75 days to go before the presidential election and maybe the most closely contested swing state in the country. So, you know, a couple things going on, I suppose.
Yeah, a few things. Dan, the background, do you have a journalism background? How did you start the Recombobulation Area? What started all this?
Yeah. So, you know, like you mentioned, I've been a journalist in and around Milwaukee for much of the past 15 years. I was a reporter at Biz Times Milwaukee and the Milwaukee Business Journal. I was also an editor at Milwaukee Magazine for a time. And I actually moved out to Seattle to work there for a little bit. And then it ended up coming back. Milwaukee has a certain gravity to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of people end up coming back. So I came back. And when I did that, I really wanted to get back to, you know, where I first started back in college as a weekly opinion columnist. And so instead of, you know, freelancing around town, when I came back, I started this new effort called the Recombobulation Area as a weekly opinion column. I actually started as a part-time thing while I was a stay-at-home dad. And it actually grew to be, you know, my full-time job and small business and all of that over the past few years. And now we are just absolutely thrilled about this next chapter for the Recombobulation Area, you know, kind of left-leaning political left-leaning politics, new perspective on, you know, what's happening in Milwaukee and what's happening across the state. So, yeah, that's a little bit of my background for those who might not be aware. But yeah, it's really, you know, it started it as a way to get back with writing with perspective and writing with a voice and kind of in the tradition of a weekly newspaper columnist, but done in a manner that is, you know, geared for an audience in the 21st century.
Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media. Dan, what's your sense on how journalism has progressed, devolved, evolved over the course of the last 10 or 20 years? I mean, this is a changing landscape. You know, budgets have changed, priorities have changed, advertising has changed, you know, everything's a lot of online now. How do you think traditional journalism is going to, you know, fare as we continue to move forward?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult time because so many of these, you know, legacy media outlets are part of these corporate chains. And I think there are still so many terrific journalists around the state doing really important work. But, you know, Gannett owns, what, half of the papers in the state or something like that. And they just every few months, it seems like they're going through cuts. And so I think that, you know, leaves a lot of room for stuff that often goes uncovered. And I think that's part of why I started the Recombobulation era in 2019, when the year that I started, it was the same year that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel stopped, having a, you know, dedicated opinion section. They didn't have, you know, regular newspaper columnists and opinion perspective type of journalism. Of course, they'll run, you know, letters to the editor or one-off op-eds here and there. But I think there is something missing. And I think there was something missing in the Milwaukee media market in particular, and not just the, you know, the corporate chains, but I think a lot of the local media in and around Milwaukee, especially in the 2010s, was pivoting away from political coverage and commentary and hard-hitting types of articles and things like that. And, you know, nothing wrong with articles about great restaurants in Milwaukee or what's going on in the city or whatever it might be. But I think that just leaves a gap there. And I think that's what, you know, there was a lane to drive into, and I drove right into it. And now we're at a point where, you know, we're really expanding things. And I think what Civic Media has done since it launched a couple of years ago, it's just a really ambitious and bold, enterprising outfit to really, you know, make a splash in the Wisconsin media landscape. And I think our missions are so very aligned that it just makes this fit, you know, just hand in glove. And we're really excited about what we're all going to be able to do together in the weeks and months and years to come.
It appears that Dom has frozen.
Seems like it. Well, I guess I'll just keep talking then about what's going on with the recombobulation.
By all means, please do so.
You know, we're really excited about this agreement, really excited about taking this next step forward. And you know, one of the things that we do at the recombobulation area, we really like to take an in-depth look at things. And one of those is that I have written a preview of every race on the ballot across the state for the Wisconsin State Legislature. So that is, you know, 116 different races that I have previewed at the Recombobulation era. I did that in 2020, actually won a Milwaukee Press Club Award for what I did for it in 2022. And so, you know, looking ahead to this sprint to the finish line here, not only will we be covering, you know, visits from presidents and candidates and senators and all of that over the next, you know, month and a half, 2.5 months here before the election, but we'll really be taking a closer look at what's going on in the state legislature too. And I think this is going to be a really interesting year with new maps to be writing that preview, because previous ones were just like, okay, how much can Democrats, you know, maybe chip into the Republican majority here? This year, a very different landscape with these new maps. So the Democrats have an opportunity to flip the Wisconsin State Assembly for the first time since the 2008 election. And I actually had a chance to talk with Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer last week when I was down in Chicago for the DNC. And she actually put a number on it. She predicted that the Democrats would win 52 of the 99 state assembly seats and flip the chamber. So, but you know, putting it out there, putting a target out there. And I think that's really exciting. So as I, you know, go through and do my previews that will be at the recombobulation area and at Civic Media, you know, that's going to be a big part of my coverage for the next few months, along with, you know, covering the presidential race in a swing state where four of the last six presidential elections have been decided by less than 1%. So, you know, no big deal, Wisconsin voters. There's a lot riding on this. Yeah.
Dan Schaefer, political editor, new political editor over at Civic Media, founder of the Recombobulation Area. I am a subscriber, Dan, so I look forward to continuing to receive your reporting on the Recombobulation Area as well. And I just got to tell you personally, I think it's a great match, Dan, and I got to know you, get to know you a little bit better. Heard some of your interviews on Jane's show and other folks' show, and I'm just really psyched about this. So congratulations! I did see you on discussing at the DNC with Maggie. We didn't get a chance to sit down, so here's our chance. I want to get your take, man. The DNC compared to the RNC. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, I was there at in Chicago for Wednesday and Thursday. I wasn't there the whole week. I was actually up in Milwaukee for the Kamala Harris rally on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So certainly a whole lot of got to see, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz twice last week. But, you know, the DNC, I thought was it just a terrific convention. And there was so much energy and enthusiasm, and boy, have things changed for the Democratic Party in just about 6 weeks there. Yeah. Because I was at the President Biden's rally in Madison in early July, and the energy there was quite a bit different from that at the Harris rally in Milwaukee that Tuesday, and at the convention as well. But I think, you know, the RNC, just thinking back to it at this point, you know, so much of it was Republicans seemed like they were just spiking the football, like they were ready to just say that they were ready to win the election. And then all the wind gets taken out when Biden announces that he's stepping aside just a couple days after the convention wrapped. And, you know, just to really, you expect to see that kind of convention bounce in the polls from either party. Didn't really happen with Republicans because of Biden's announcement. It's going to be interesting, you know, in the coming days here to see if there's going to be a bounce for Harris. I imagine there will be, because I thought she gave a terrific speech. I thought Tim Walz gave a terrific speech. I think Walz is just, you know, the media circuit that he's been on, he's just batting 1,000 right now out there. So with all the Coach Walz content. So yeah, just really great experience to be able to cover both of those conventions. You know, just right here in the Midwest, made me think that Milwaukee and Chicago should be doing more together. You know, it's a yeah, quick train ride down there. It's not so bad. You know, we could, I think we could be working together a lot more often.
You know, if you talk to someone in Chicago, I think they consider Milwaukee as an outlying suburb, but you know, we got the sports rivalries, Dan. What do you think? I'm very encouraged by the political parties on both sides paying very special and specific attention to the state of Wisconsin. Now, I get the electoral math. I know we're one of a few really important deciding states, but they have been coming here, man. The Republicans, the Democrats, everyone's paying attention to Wisconsin. Do you think the people are listening yet? I mean, usually after Labor Day, Dan, I feel like people are starting to kind of pay attention, but the parties have been paying very close attention to this state. What do you think?
Yeah, we're certainly going to be in the spotlight. I mean, just look at what's ahead for, you know, I think Donald Trump will be in La Crosse tomorrow. Tim Walz will be in Milwaukee on Monday. I think President Biden is going to be in Wisconsin next week. Now, just the White House just announced today. So I think everybody knows how important Wisconsin is on the political map. It is one of those six or seven states that is going to determine the winner. In the last two election cycles, Wisconsin has been the tipping point state. And so I think we should expect to see just an absolute avalanche of political activity in the state over the next 70 some days here. And it's going to be interesting to see which types of messages really resonate, because I think that, you know, with J.D. Vance on the ticket, Republicans were really, you know, kind of trying to position themselves with a different message, trying to reach working class voters. But I think, you know, with adding Tim Walz on the ticket, with some of the messaging, you know, particularly with unions at the DNC and all that, I think that is going to, you know, those are the types of voters that have proven to be swing voters in Wisconsin in the past, a lot of those working class voters. And I think that's going to be a really interesting effort to see how exactly each campaign goes about trying to reach them.
Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media, founder of Recombobulation Era. You got about 60 seconds left. Dan, what's your award-winning journalist, man? What's your, you have a guiding principle philosophy when you go and put pen to paper?
I always like to look at the bigger picture. I always try to take, you know, I think that as a columnist, especially, you know, you can get into the weeds and the details and all sorts of different things, but I think really trying to take that 30,000 foot view of what's going on and really understand the bigger picture. And that's what we try to bring at the Recombobulation Area.
Dan Schaefer, new political editor at Civic Media, founder of the Recombobulation Area .news, right? .news. You can find
that's
him
right.
online. Yeah. Hey, Dan, congratulations. Nice to catch up with you. Great to see you down at the DNC. Look forward to seeing hanging out with you some more, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're going to come back with some of your phone calls. And make sure you stick around. Our next guest, Robert Pilot, at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. But right now, your calls, 844-967-2789. Thanks, Dan.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Love Shack! Welcome back to the Love Shack Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Your call is always welcome, 844-967-2789. I want to thank our last guest, Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area, new political director over at Civic Media. Dan's the cool cat, smart guy, award-winning journalist. Check him out. You can see the Recombobulation Area .news and, of course, on civicmedia.us. Welcome to the family. He's no longer a friend of mine. He's a friend of ours, Dan Schaefer. 844-967-2789, Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake. Playing over at KTNF AM 950 in Minnesota. He's going to join me at the happy hour. So we look forward to catching up with Robert as well. In the meantime, I got to get this one out there. Daniel Weiss over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I'm really curious about this because, you know, I was young once, but I didn't have the socials. Here's what Weiss writes. Assembly candidate deletes social media post with racist slurs and offensive terms. Well, yeah, I mean, that's probably wise. Let's dig in. Most political candidates these days scrub questionable social posts before running for office. Ryan Hipsch isn't most candidates. Hipsch, a Republican running for the hotly contested 94th Assembly District in Western Wisconsin, has two highly questionable social media posts. The first is a 2014 Twitter post that features the meme of Black rapper Tyler, the Creator, wearing a green baseball hat with the word golf. Next to it is the golf ball wearing a green hat with a racial slur on it. And behind the ball is a golf club. Hipsch then responded to the post by adding, LOL, I need a hat for my balls. Now, the hat, the green hat, had the N-word on it. So he thought that was funny. Then, this was back in, let's see, what was that, 2014? Then there's a post on his 2010 Facebook page of him posing with a rifle at what appears to be a military base. In the post, he uses an ethnic slur for people of Arab descent, especially those who wear traditional headdress such as turbans, and declares, can't wait to kill some, well, you know, insert your ethnic slur for people of Arab descent there. Now, he quickly added, LOL, that was racist. Sorry, everyone, but I'm joining the Marines soon, so just saying. Now, in addition, Hipsch used the offensive term retarded in a couple of tweets on what is now known as X, including one in 2013 that said, bitch, you just went full retarded. Smartest kid in the retard class is what that means. Smiley face in 2012. Now, here's the thing. Hipsch, who is 28, apologized for the post, which he wrote when he was 18, 17, and 14. 14. Now, the posts were taken down after the Journal Sentinel asked about them. All of them were public during his first run for public office in 2022. Here's what he said in a statement. I take full responsibility and apologize for the dumb and inappropriate posts I made when I was an immature teenager. Those comments, some made over half my lifetime ago, do not reflect the man I am, nor the values I hold today. Okay. Now, his opponent did not respond to a request for comment, but Chris Wallach, the executive director for the liberal group A Better Wisconsin Together Political Fund, called the social media posts deeply troubling. Now, Wallach said he believes the tweet and Facebook posts are fair game. He said voters deserve to know the true character of those who represent them. Wisconsinites deserve leaders who stand for unity and respect, not division and hate. Elected officials and those seeking a state in public office must be held to the highest of standards, and Hupsch is no exception. He must be held accountable for his words. Now, Hupsch is running for the assembly seat previously held by his father, former Assembly Speaker Mike Hupsch. And I can tell you all that Crudy's a big fan, a Republican who spent 16 years in the legislature. Now, in 2011, Mike Hupsch, the father, began serving as Secretary of the Department of Administration under Walker. He was appointed a member of the Public Service Commission, a job he stepped down from in 2020. Now, here's the interesting part that Dan brings up. Because, of course, I'm kind of struggling here. I mean, stupid things a kid says when they're 14 or 17, certainly. Racism is not acceptable at any age. But listen to this part from Bice. Interestingly, in 2001, then Rep. Mike Hupsch, the father, apologized on the floor of the assembly for using a gay slur when complaining about then Rep. Tim Carpenter, a Milwaukee Democrat. Now, Carpenter, who is now a state senator, later came out as gay. The offensive remarks came during a debate about a measure to commend the Boy Scouts of America. And as Bice writes, like father, like son. Man, so, you know, the 14, what chance do you have? You know, if your father, Mike Hupsch, who, you know, was the rep, worked for Walker, was at PSC, had to apologize on the floor for using, you know, gay slurs. Do you think that was said around the home? Do you think this was a commonplace? Because, you know, 14-year-old kids don't just pick those things up. Now, the playground, you know, that happens. But I can guarantee you one thing. When I was growing up, and my parents were a lot of things. You know what I mean? They had to put up with me, the youngest of three, and thanks, Mom and Dad. But if I ever would have said any of those words in the house, I would have been in big trouble. That stuff was not allowed. But apparently, there may have been a little permission given by the old man. So, Bice, I get it. You know, should you be held for, you know, what you said when you were 14, when you're 28, running for politics? You know, if there's a record of it, and believe me, I said some terrible things, and usually not racist, never racist. No, I said some mean things about my friends and family and all those things, and some off-color jokes as a kid. And certainly you grow up and you realize, man, you know, some people might find these things offensive. And you can evolve and take in more information, but you got to continue to do that. But that was, again, before the age of the internet never forgets. And apparently Mr. Hupsch has, you know, learned that lesson. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. Robert Pilot, Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake. Host going to join us in the happy hour. Stick around.